Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. Coming to you from the Lighthouse, and you've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You've tuned me in at way by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. At 8 o'clock, and we also are being heard in the low Ada area at 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock as well. Some of you tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts, Ionia and Greenville, by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Others are listening by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. And then you go to the messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up over that and it'll show current media. Go to current media and that's where the message is from this morning. Whatever way you tuned me in, I'm just glad to have you being a part of our time together. And I want to say thank you to those that take care of the financial broadcast of the program. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. She lives in Orleans, Gay, London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she lives in Greenville. Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee. And to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you for your support. And to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, I appreciate you folks. As all these supports are very special to me. It allows me to stay on the program, and that's what I want to do. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger. She's picked out our music for this morning. Invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. I always do that. I pastored there for 50 years, been retired there from the ministry there 11 years, but still much involved in it. And I'd just like to give you an invitation for Shiloh, Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and then a contemporary service for 10:45. And then at our campus in Greenville, that's the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to come and join us any one of those services. Well, as we get started for our message this morning, we're going to start a series of one of four messages in getting a glimpse of God. Each week I'm going to be speaking about getting a glimpse of God. Today, I am thinking of God, the enabler. He gives us ability to do above and beyond what we might think of ourselves, and also the God of second chance. We're going to look in the Old Testament at Moses, and we're going to look in the New Testament at Peter. But before we get started our service this morning, I got a song I want us to listen to. This song will let us know what God said to Moses one day. And you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, what makes something holy ground? That's the name of the song, Holy Ground. You know, what makes it holy ground is God's presence. And this is out in the desert, but that's a beautiful cathedral. They are in the desert because God is present. And that's what God wants us to know in our own individual lives. Even as we walk with Him and serve Him, He wants us to know that we are the temple of the living God. So let's listen in to this song, and I'll be right back and share the message with you. Looking forward to God's blessing upon what we have to share this morning. But we're going to start out with, this is holy ground. Here we go.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise
We are standing in His presence on holy ground, and we need to know that. We need to believe that when we come into the presence of God, that is His holy presence, and God has invited us to come. A verse that I use quite often at funerals reminds us that God said, His ear is always open unto our cry. And God wants us to come to Him. And when I pray this morning, I want to pray for the listening audience, asking God's special blessing to be upon the congregation that's got me tuned in this morning. You're the folks I'm ministering to. You're the folks that I want to pray for and ask God's richest blessing to be upon you. So let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, once again I come into Your presence. Your presence is that holy ground, as we have just heard. And Father, we come into the presence of Yourself with request for the listening audience. Every time I do a radio broadcast, I want to remember those that are listening in, not knowing what they may be going through in their life. And yet, Father, we can come to You and ask for Your special strength and encouragement, and that You might minister to us in a very special way. And we'll thank You, and we'll praise You for that. So, Father, I want to pray for those that's tuned us in that are going through a very difficult time today. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's an emotional thing. But those that's going through a kind of trials and troubling time this morning, I ask Your special blessing to rest upon them. Father, we want to remember those that have been really blessed this week. They've got some good things that's happened in their life. And so we are saying hallelujah and thank You, Jesus, for what You have done for us. And for others that's gone through some of the other difficulty this week, we've had 5 funerals again this week. And so, Father, we know there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of grieving. And some of the listening audience are those that is in a grieving process for a loved one that they miss very much. I want to just pray for them and that You would minister to them. And then as school gets started, we pray for, it's going pretty good now, so we pray for all of our teachers. We pray for all the students. We pray for safety for this year in the Ionia Mount Calm area, that Your hand of blessing would be upon all the school systems. And we'll thank You and praise You for that in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we get started with our message this morning, I had mentioned the idea is getting a glimpse of God. I believe that's kind of what we ought to really look at, you know, is the idea that we just need to understand one day we will see Jesus and God the Father face to face, and the Holy Spirit and the oneness of that great God. But I got to tell you right now about all we can handle is a little glimpses of Him. And the one that we're going to look at today, Moses, was taught that by God Himself. It's in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 17 through 23. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do everything you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name. The Lord is in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion upon whom I'll have compassion. But he said, Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft in the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Now listen to what he says. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face you must not see. Getting a glimpse of God. I think we're not capable of much more than getting the glimpse of God is what Moses is being told. And I think we're being told the same thing. Sometimes we think we want to just so to speak, see God face to face and have him come and be something special to us and those kinds of things. But you know what? Through this experience, God is teaching Moses that what he wants him to do is to walk and do the work of God or for God by faith and not sight. So what he is going to do is give him a glimpse of God in seeing the back of God himself as he passes by. You know, I think that's so important for us to see that God wants us to get a hold of the idea that the Christian life is one that is to be lived by faith and not by sight. It is trusting this God. It is leaning upon him and his guidance and direction for us. Even after Jesus was resurrected from the dead later on, he taught kind of the same lesson to a man by the name of Thomas, who we've come to call Doubting Thomas. One day Jesus, after his resurrection, met up with the disciples. But Thomas was absent. He wasn't there. The other disciples said to Thomas when they saw him, "We saw Jesus today." And Thomas goes on something like this. Thomas said, "I will not believe that you've seen Jesus until I can take my fingers and put it into his hands where he was wounded. I can take my hand and thrust it into his side. I will not believe that it is Jesus." And some time passed, almost another week or so, and then all of a sudden the disciples were all together, and this time Thomas was present. And Jesus said, "Thomas, take your finger and touch my hand. Take your hand and thrust it into my side and see the nail prints." I don't know if Thomas ever did that or not. You know what he did do? He said, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God," as he bowed down before him. Now listen to what Jesus said to Thomas, because it brings it to you and I today. It brings us to our period of time. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed." That's beautiful, Thomas. You've seen me and you believe. But Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen me, yet they have believed. We need to know that that's exactly what God wants us to do, is to walk by faith and not by sight. And God needs to teach Moses to do this as he's beginning to get this time into Moses' life. The same that was told all the way through Christ's life and the same that was told in others is just a reminder to us. It's always going to be about faith. I love a thing that's recorded in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and 8 and 9 when it says, "You are extremely happy in joy and praise that you hardly have the words to express it. You've obtained salvation. That is the goal of your faith." And he said, "I want you to realize that you need to know that I love you and care for you," is what God is saying. And then you know what? In my Facebook page, I put a picture of looking at the creation. You know, you get a glimpse of God when you look at the creation around you. I don't know where the summers went this year, but I got to tell you, one of the things that I like as September and October come around is the beauty that God takes and paints in his world. Hoping that we do get some time, Bev and I, to go up north and see the color. It's beautiful around here, but sometimes it's just kind of nice to take a little trip, you know, and go see all the color. And you know what? When you look at the beauty of this creation of God's, it reminds us. It's giving us a glimpse of God. It's giving us a glimpse of God and his power. I had a tree trimmed at the lake last week so I could see from my office or my study room. Over at the house, I could see the lake a little better. And you know what? The last few sunrises, I have enjoyed very much. This morning it didn't last very long because it clouded up. But you know, dear people, anytime you look at God's creation, He's given you a glimpse of who God is and what He's done for each one of us. And that's pretty special. Well, let's move on into Moses' life and see what had happened about getting a glimpse of God and how this worked in Moses' life. I got to tell you, folks, God does it differently in every single person's life. But God wants us to get a glimpse of Him, that He is the one that can enable us to do far beyond what you and I might think we would be able to do. He comes to an ordinary man in an ordinary way of his everyday experience. And I want us to catch a glimpse of how God revealed Himself to Moses. Now, Moses' life is a little different than your life and my life. I think Moses' life now, at this time when God's going to come to him, he's 80 years old. And God's going to ask him to do a big job for him at 80 years old. 40 years had passed by since he killed an Egyptian. The first 40 years of his life, he was raised as an Egyptian, but then one day he killed an Egyptian and he escaped. And the last 40 years, he's been living on the backside of a desert. He was tending the sheep of his father-in-law. They weren't even Moses' sheep. He was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses had undergone a complete career change from being in the land of Egypt to now he's on the backside of a desert taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And one day as he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, something that happened that Moses is going to be spoken to. Now he's going to get this glimpse of God that we're talking about. Moses was taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law, the high priest of Midian. And as he led the sheep to the far sides of the desert, he came to Horeb, the Mount of God. The message of the Lord appeared to him. There was a flame of fire coming out of a bush. Moses looked, and although the bush was on fire, it was not burning up. So he thought, why isn't this bush burning up? I must go over there and see that strange sight. And when the Lord saw that Moses had come over to see it, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Boy, I don't know what I would have done, but Moses answered, here am I. God said, don't come any closer. Take off your shoes, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And a good thing he had that fear, because we already realized that sometime later when God shared this to him that Moses couldn't see God and live. So here Moses sees this bush that is burning. I love this about Moses' life, that is, he is doing his everyday job. He'd been doing that, folks, for 40 years. He'd been taking care of sheep, and he gets up one morning and says, well, guess we better take care of the sheep today. And it's in that kind of an everyday setting of something that Moses has done now for many years that God is going to give Moses a glimpse of this God that can enable Moses to do more with his life than to attend to the sheep. And it wasn't that there was nothing wrong in attending to the sheep, excepting God had something more for Moses to do. And Moses was not doing it at this period of time. Moses didn't know what God had for him to do. You know, to be out there in the desert, it got really hot. And, you know, sometimes I think of them as when I was working in the onion fields, we had what we called tumbleweeds. Them tumbleweeds were really light, and when the wind would blow, they would go sailing across the onion fields. And you know something? That's kind of what this bush was like. But those tumbleweeds would stop, and that sand would be hot. The sun would be beating down on it. And all of a sudden, that tumbleweed would burst into a flame. It wasn't going to hurt anything. But you know what? Matter of a few seconds, it was gone. God's going to get Moses' attention in a simple way. All of a sudden, there's a bush on fire. Now, Moses had seen that hundreds of times, maybe even thousands of times. But all of a sudden, Moses said, that bush isn't burning up. Most of the time, those bushes would just last a few seconds. And that bush continued to burn. So Moses said, I got to go check this out. What is this? This is a strange thing. Why is that bush not burning up? And so as he walks towards it, I love it, that God sees that Moses is walking towards the bush. And he lets him walk so far, and then all of a sudden he cries out, Moses, Moses, don't come any further. The ground you are standing on is holy ground. It's just a desert, folks. But God's there. And any place where God's presence is, it is holy ground. And Moses hears God speak to him, even in that desert place. We need to find out what God has to say to Moses. We need to see what is God going to do. He's got Moses' attention. May I say this to you before we leave this? God always does different things to get yours and my attention. God wants us to pay attention to him. And you and I can get busy just like Moses got busy in the everyday think of living life. And all of a sudden we just cut into our routine, so to speak. And all of a sudden sometime God wants to tell us or show us something that he has that is very special. So let me do it this way. As God was speaking to Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to know something. So he records it in Exodus chapter 3. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. That word Egypt brought something right back to mind of Moses. Even though it's been 40 years, he remembered he had to flee Egypt to save his life. And my people Israel, and he knew those people were there. I'm sure he missed those people. And he knew they were still there in the land of Egypt. And God says, I've heard their cry, and because of the slave drivers, I know how much they're suffering. I have come to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, and I've come to bring them to a land of plenty, of room to grow, and a land that is flowing with milk and honey. That's what God wants to talk to Moses about. Then something that Moses in no way was expecting to hear, especially when you remember he fled from Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian. And when God said, I've heard their cry, and I've seen how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh, so that you can bring my people, Israel, out of Egypt. I believe about that time Moses would almost say, what'd you say? What did you say? But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring this people of Israel out of Egypt? That's recorded in Exodus chapter 3 as well. Moses, now all of a sudden, his whole life is going to change. Because he's got a glimpse of God. And he also has a glimpse of what God wants to use him for, which he can't hardly believe that God is asking him to do that. He began to make excuses one right after another. And I love that the God of the enabler does not listen to those excuses. You know what God sees in each one of us? He sees our potential. He sees what we're capable of becoming. And the excuses wasn't going to cut it with God. Now, God will try to convince Moses because God is going to be with Moses. He can do what God is calling him to do. It's a request that now he's going to make to Moses, since Moses has a glimpse of God. God answered, this is what he said, I'll be with you, Moses, and this will be my proof that I sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, in God's mind, folks, Moses has already been able to do that. When you bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, all of you will worship God on this very mountain where you are next to right now. Remember, Moses went to the Mount of Horeb, the Mount of God, as it was called. And God said, you're right here, Moses, now, right now, this is where you are. But when you've done the job that I've got for you to do, when that whole nation of Israel is with you, you're going to worship me right here in this mountain with all of those Israelites, all of your family, all of those that are part of the Jewish nation, Israel. Then Moses replied to God, suppose I go to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? And God answered Moses, this is a strange way for God to speak, and I am who I am. That's what you say to the people of Israel. And you tell them, God, I am, has sent me to you. Boy, Moses had to learn something that's hard for many people to learn. I came across this statement. It's not scripture, but I love it. God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. We got it backwards sometime. We think we've equipped ourselves to do work for God. And God is saying, when I call you to do a job for me, I will equip you to do that job. I want you to know that. I want you to be a part of that. I want to listen to a song that's talking about net breaking experiences. It really gets into the next one that I want to share with you. But before I share the next thought that I want to share, I want us to listen to this song just to take a little break and to remind ourselves that God brings blessings. And that's what he did when he called Peter into the work. And we'll talk about Peter in just a few minutes. When he called Peter into the work, he gave him a net-breaking experience. They caught more fish than they'd ever caught before in their life. So let's listen to this song that tells us about that. And this song will remind us of God's special blessing upon our lives and what he's done for us to give us this encouragement that you and I need in our life as we walk before him. So I'll be right back in just a few moments. Here we go.
The disciples were ready to quit and give in. Hope had become a stranger to them. They fished all night with nothing to show. Just empty nets and nowhere to go. Then Jesus came along with just one word. They threw out their nets on what they had heard. Obedience taught them what they needed to see. It happened to them, it's happening to me. I've got net breaking, boat sinking, bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. To meet my need, I'm looking around, and all I see are net-breaking boats seeking bountiful blessings on me. Good measure pressed down, running over indeed. Shaken together, his blessings I see. I can say, cause I'm living proof There's nothing that my God cannot do. Trust in the Lord and plant my seed. Goodness and mercy are following me. I've learned to let go of what's in my hand. Release it to God and He fills it again with
net breaking, boat sinking, bountiful blessings on me.
He's raining them down. I'm telling you, I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are
net breaking, boat sinking, bountiful blessings on me. Breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me.
He's raining them down. I'm telling you, I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are
net breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me. Blessings on me.
Net breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me.
Net breaking boats, sinking.
Net breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me.
Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Got us awake now for the rest of our message time together. Net breaking bountiful blessings upon me. I wanted that song in there before I share this next part of the message with you this morning, because Moses is a person that God used in my life to bring about the possibilities of what I do for the Lord as my everyday life. I know it's something very special. You know, talking about the blessings of God, and you know, Moses lived many hundreds and thousands of years ago. But you know, God showed to Moses, I'm the enabler. I'm the one that can help you to do above and beyond what you might think you could possibly do. And one of the things that Moses did when he was talking about doing the job that God wanted him to do, Moses made an excuse. And I'm so glad he made this excuse. Let me just share what it is. Moses used this excuse in his response to God's offer for a second chance or to go and do what God wanted him to do. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not equipped. Either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm a slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Who has made that mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or see or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "Oh, Lord, please send someone else." I love that. "Please, Lord, send someone else. I'm not capable of doing what you're asking me to do. And I know it. I have to be able to speak to the children of Israel. I have to be able to speak to Moses." Let me tell you why I like that excuse. This is just something from my own personal life of how God used Moses to speak to me when I was about 19 years old. Moses lived many years before, but in 1954, when I was just a young man, and I felt God's call from him to do a work for him. And I felt God's call was to be a pastor. But I had a speech problem like Moses. My tongue was slow. A lot of mine came as a result. I didn't stutter. It just came that it didn't come out very well. And kids in school would laugh at me. That caused me not to want to speak very much. Probably the way my stepdad had treated me and I didn't dare to respond. I was always very shy. And you know, I had asked Jesus to come into my life. And I was going to be baptized. And before the time of baptizing, because they didn't have a baptism in the church that I went attended to. They had to go to Grand Rapids, and they had to make those arrangements with another church. And in that meantime, I'd prayed to God. God, I feel you've called me to do something for you, but I can't talk plain. People will laugh. So God, when I get baptized, if you want me to do something for you, when I come out of the baptism water, have it so I can talk plain, and then I'll know that you want me to do that for you. And so the time come to be baptized. And I was excited about that. Then on the way home, the pastor kept asking me different questions, and I'd say, When I got home, I went upstairs to my room, and I started to talk. And it came out the same way it always had. I felt quite relieved. I don't think God really wants me to be a pastor. He didn't change my voice. I talked the same as I always did. I was working at that time in Mitchell Bentley in Ionia in the factory. I'd met another young man that was a Christian, and he told me about some tent meetings that was going to take place in Saranac, Michigan. So I went over. We was planning on Saturday we'd go to the tent meetings. That's when they started. And then he worked in a different department than I did. And then he came down and said to me, Friday, boy, Ken, I'm sorry, but he said, I got to work tomorrow. So I won't be going to the tent meetings. And you know, to make a story long, but shorten it a little bit, I went to that tent meeting. I went there all by myself. You know, I don't know as I was excited more about going to the tent meetings as I was seeing that big of a tent, because he told me how big of a tent it was. It would hold 150 people. I said, man, I'd like to see a tent like that. So I went there, and I was sitting down in the chair getting ready for the speaker to come and speak. And the pastor that was going to be speaking at that time, he came out and singing it all taking place, and he was ready to deliver his message. And believe it or not, folks, this is what he said. This evening, I'm going to speak to you about a man that God called to do a job for him. And that man made all kinds of excuses why he couldn't do it. And then he made the excuse, I can't talk plain. God, I won't be able to be a spokesman for you. I can't talk plain. And he went on to show in that message that God helped him to overcome. I don't know what happened with anybody else in that tent meeting. But that night I knew I couldn't tell God any longer. I can't do it because I can't talk plain. And you know, from that time on to this time, when I think about that, in the Greenville station, I've been on that station this fall 43 years. And my voice has gone out over the radio, and I'm thinking, that was what I was going to use as an excuse. I can't talk plain. That's what I was going to use as an excuse to tell God why I couldn't do what I did. And now here I am in my 80s, and I still spend a lot of time. This week we had... We've going to get done this week. We'll have 5 funerals. I want to tell you, folks, God is the enabler. That isn't anything that I did for myself, but it was just God saying to me and God showing to me that I would be able to do what he called me to do, that I didn't need to get myself equipped to do it. God was going to equip me to do it. And I got to tell you, thinking about those net-breaking experiences, such a blessing that God gave to Peter. Let me tell you about that story of what God did to Peter as he wanted to call him into doing something. Peter was busy. Peter was a fisherman. His life, as far as Peter was concerned, just like Moses' life, they were satisfied in what they were doing. But God could see the potential of Peter, just like he could see the potential of Moses. By the way, Moses did lead the nation of Israel out of that land. They did come to that mountain just like God had said. So what God promises, he can perform. And he did for Moses. But now we move into the New Testament, and we see there's a man by the name of Peter. Listen to this story. One day, Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee. The people crowded around him as they listened to God's word. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus noticed as a crowd kept coming closer and closer to the shoreline. Jesus saw there was two boats on the shore. The fishermen had stepped out of them and were washing their nets. So Jesus got into the boat that belonged to Simon and asked him to push off just a little ways from shore so he could begin to talk. By the way, you know what? Jesus knew that water would become an amplifier so that people could hear. And so Jesus pushes off to the side on that boat. Then Jesus sat down and he taught the crowd from the boat. When he finished speaking, he told Simon and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Take the boat into some deeper water. Now, Peter, lower your nets and catch some fish." And Simon answered him, "Teacher, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But if you say, lower the nets, I'll lower the nets." After the men had done this, they caught a large number of fish that their nets began to break and to tear. That's where that song, boat sinking, net breaking, the net was full. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Those partners came and they filled both boats until the boats nearly sank. What a catch of fish. That is a fish story. You know what, folks? When Simon Peter saw this, he knelt in front of Jesus and said, "Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful person. I don't deserve your presence. Leave me, Lord." Simon and everyone who was with him were amazed to see the large number of fish that they had caught. And James and John, who were Zebedee's sons and Simon's partner, were also amazed. And Jesus told Simon, "Simon, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't need to have no fear for me." Jesus says to each of you just what he said to Peter. Listen to what he said. "Don't be afraid to step out. Because you know what, Peter? Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." You're good at fishing, Peter. But follow me, Peter, and I'll make you to become a fisher of men. You'll be getting people for the kingdom of God. You know what, folks? Just like when I heard that about Moses, I just thought, if God's called me, he can help me to do it. He can help people to understand me. You know what I needed in that voice, my problem with my speech? I just needed to know that Jesus called me. You know, sometimes when I do a funeral, somebody will say to me that hasn't heard me before, they'll say, "You got a little bit of a brogue. Are you from Boston?" I say, "No, don't be embarrassed now." That's what's left of my speech impediment. God has used the voice that I thought God couldn't use. You know what made the difference? I followed him. Just like Jesus says to Peter and to James and to John, "Follow me, and I'll make you to become fisher of men. I'll make you to be able to do more than you've ever thought you was capable of doing." Listen to what it says about them. "And immediately they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Now, that's just one time in Peter's life. The same thing is true in my life, in your life, that God tells us he's going to give us the ability to do what he sees as our potential if we will just follow him in obedience. But as you and I follow him in obedience, we know that being a Christian is something more than just the idea of stepping out and saying God will take care of it. It's a day-by-day journey with this one Jesus. And that's what Peter had. That's what Moses had. If you read that in the accounts of Moses' life, it was a day-by-day leading thing that God did with Moses until they arrived at that mountain. And then after that as well. Now, in Peter's life, the same thing is true. One day, Jesus came to his disciples, and he said to them, "You know what, disciples, you've been with me 3 years. But they're going to come and get the shepherd today. And you know, when the shepherd is gone, it scatters the sheep." Then Jesus said to all the disciples, "This very night you all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have raised from the dead, I'll go ahead of you in Galilee." And all of a sudden, Peter interrupted Jesus. He said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never fall away. I will never disown you." Jesus answered, "This very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me, Peter, 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same thing. Now listen, folks. In our journey with this one Jesus, there's things that's going to happen that's going to test our faith. It's going to test our relationship with Jesus. And you and I can have the same confidence that Peter had. I appreciate Jesus so much in my life that I would never disown him. Well, we know, as you know, the rest of the story. Peter did disown him that evening. Peter disowned him 3 times. And Jesus and Peter heard the rooster go, cock-a-doodle-doo. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. But you know the beautiful thing I love about the Lord Jesus? The beautiful thing I love about this God, the enabler, is you and I may fail. I've had times when I failed. But God didn't write me off. I love it that God didn't write Peter off. Moses in his relationship with God failed, but God didn't write him off. God wants us to know that he wants us to be obedient to him. But when we are not faithful to him, there's going to be times when God will let us know that he still wants to give us a second chance. He wants to give us an opportunity to continue doing what God wants us to do until the job is done. I love the verse that simply says, "He that began a good work in you is going to bring it to performance. He's going to finish it." God has no unfinished projects. Those of you listening to my voice, if you think God has wrote you off, that he has given up on you, I'm here to tell you, God never gives up on any one of us. Sometime later, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus sat down with Peter by the fire and they had some fish together. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter answered, "No, Lord, I love you." Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Then after that, you know what Jesus said to Peter? Peter, every time he said, I got a job for you to do. I got something I want you to accomplish. You know, one day Jesus even told the same kind of story. He said there was a shepherd that had 99 sheep, and he really had 100, but when he got counted them out that evening as he got to the fold, there was only 99. And you know what? The shepherd left the 99 in the fold and went looking for the one that had gone astray. I love that about this God, the enabler. That when you and I do mess up, that God will come seeking for us. And it's not in a pinto way. You know what that shepherd did when he found that sheep that had gone astray? He picked him up. He carried him on his shoulders. And he went back to the rest of the shepherds and said, rejoice with me. The sheep that was lost has now been found. And they all rejoiced. And then Jesus added to that story, there's rejoicing in heaven every time somebody comes to the place of repentance. My time is up. I got to go on my way. I got a song that I want us to listen to, though. And this song is reminding us that it is well with Jesus. I want you to know, no matter what's going on in your life, it is well with Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
Experienced the shepherd as he led us to the meadows, standing by still waters, all is well. We've been rescued by the Savior as he brought us through the danger, safely in his keeping, all is well. All is well. All is well in his presence. He has promised all is well. We have overcome through the Holy Son. All is well in Jesus. All is well. He's the master of creation. The maker of the heavens, keeper of the ages, all is well.